you give us a brief overview of the bill, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 3980 establishes legislative findings and intent in the management use of the Industrial Accident Fund. It establishes the Examination and Accountability Commission, known as the EAC, consisting of 6 members, State Treasurer, Secretary of State, Director of Oregon Department of Consumer Business Services, and 3 public members appointed by the governor. Establishes the EAC Fund. It requires the State Accident Insurance Fund, SAFE, to report annually to the EAC the assets, reserves, and surplus, and gains on investments from the previous year. Requires DCBS to report annually to the EAC the total amount required for the Workers' Benefit Fund. Directs the State Treasurer upon order from the EAC to transfer investment gains or reported surplus funds from the Industrial Accident Fund to the EAC Fund after payment for potential dividends and the required allowance to the Workers' Benefit Fund has been made. Sets the amount of the SAFE dividend to be the greater of 1, the difference between 150 percentile of the net earned premiums and the net losses and expenses, or 2, a ratio calculated by dividing the dividends of the net earned premiums for the last 2 years for 5 of the private workers' compensation insurance carriers. Limits the dividends payable by SAFE to the methodology found in this act. Requires the EAC to provide an annual review of the Industrial Accident Fund by an independent actuarial firm to the governor and the Legislative Assembly. Declares an emergency and takes effect upon passage.
Thank you. Representative Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was a bill brought forward by myself as a priority bill at the request of the proponents of this bill and members of leadership. The bill actually has 2 parts to which I want to discuss just real briefly. The first part is the establishment of Examination and Accountability Commission, which is an oversight commission, described by counsel here. The second half of it was one I wasn't fully aware of at the time we brought this forward, because we did this in a period of about 48 hours. That established a methodology for dealing with funds that are in the hands right now of SAFE, and those funds would have gone to the Workers' Benefit Fund, which is about a $100 million biennium fund that presently is funded by 1.8% tax, 1.8 penny tax on an hourly wage paid both by employer and employee. Excess funds above that would have gone into a holding fund to be determined by the legislature of how it was going to be spent. I was not fully aware of that or comfortable with that, and so I've asked for a dash 2 amendments to this, which will be handed out now. Those dash 2 amendments basically and simply strike the second half of this bill, so that we're looking at a bill, if we adopt the dash 2 amendments, which would be strictly the oversight part of it, which I'm strongly in favor of. We're going to have, I believe, a full discussion of this by proponents and opponents today, at which time, to be determined by the chair, we'll have a work session as he sees fit. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any questions from the committee at this point? Representative Devlin?
Just clarification that the dash 2 amendments are the ones incorporated into the Hand and Growth version?
It is. Okay. And the summary's been updated as well.
So everybody should have a Hand and Gross version of the bill, which represents the dash 2 amendments being incorporated into the bill. Okay. We are not going to have a work session on those other 2 bills today. They've been put over. So our only business today will be the work on House Bill 3980. And as I indicated to the proponents and the opponents of this bill, I was going to limit testimony to 45 minutes for the proponents, 45 minutes for the opponents. I'm going to stick to that. When we did this a month ago, I didn't, which means if some people don't get to testify, some people won't get to testify. But that is the ground rules we're operating under. It is now 3:45. So I'm going to let the proponents go first. They will have till 4:30, at which point in time they will be done, and then we will go to the opponents for the final 45 minutes of the hearing. Okay, any questions from the committee on that? Okay, let's go ahead then, and let's have Lynn Lundquist, Phil Donovan. I think it was at the first.
Yes, that's
okay. Perfect.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lynn Lundquist, President of the Oregon Business Association. Well, here we are again. We were here a couple weeks ago. We listened to your concerns. We tried to restructure 3980. To answer some of those, we believe that it improves in the examination and oversight process of the original bill. And The bill itself, I'm going to make some comments afterwards, but the bill itself, I'll let Mr. Phil Donovan talk about the specifics.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Phil Donovan. I'm here representing the Oregon Business Association. As Lynn indicated, this will jog your memory back to March 28th when I presented testimony on House Bill 3797. We have made some changes, and those changes created a relating clause problem with House Bill 3797. We were told to find a priority bill. We searched the committee for one, and Representative Bates was good enough to provide us with a priority bill so that we may continue this debate. There are some changes. First, the oversight of the Industrial Accident Fund is better articulated in House Bill 3980 and clarifies the difference between an audit and true oversight of accounting principles and assumptions. Second, investment earnings of and excess dollars at the disposition of the legislature are utilized differently than the original bill, which, if you'll recall, funded an economic security fund. Instead, those monies will be utilized now to provide for tax relief for all businesses and employees by paying down the workers' benefit fund. And any other monies which are left are deposited into an account managed by the state treasurer. The disbursement of those monies would then be determined by future legislatures. The third change is that the creation of the Economic Security Fund has been split off into another bill, and Chair Crummell's General Government Committee is addressing this issue. So to speak to the bill itself, specifically with Section 1, it better clarifies the oversight process, and an Examination and Accountability Commission is established. Commission, again, will be chaired by the Treasurer and consist of the Secretary of State and three public members appointed by the Governor and confirmed by the Senate. We've been cognizant of criticisms about duplicity of audits. Section 5 of the bill provides more legislative direction on the scope of the oversight than did House Bill 3797. This legislation is more than an audit, or intended to be more than an audit, concerned with the solvency of the Industrial Accident Fund. Rather, the review function of this bill is to look at the basic underlying assumptions by which the Industrial Accident Fund is managed. Attached to my testimony, which I'll put out here in just a moment, is a letter from the Secretary of State describing the scope of their audit. And unlike a typical audit, this legislation will be conducted by independent actuaries, not auditors or CPAs. And so instead of simply examining the information provided by the managers of the Industrial Accident Fund, the actuaries would go deeper to examine SAFE's reserving and other actuarial assumptions. As such, though, the State Accident Insurance Fund Board would continue to set necessary reserves and surpluses to ensure injured workers' benefits. That board would also disclose the investment earnings of the Industrial Accident Fund and any surplus over which the legislature has authority. The legislative proposal continues to provide for certain guarantees of the payment of dividends. This is identical language to House Bill 3797. And after determining the needs of the Industrial Accident Fund and providing for the payment of dividends, the commission may then direct the treasurer to reduce the tax that all employers and employees pay to the workers' benefit fund. The director under the bill, the director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services would report what is the total amount to fund the workers' benefit fund. And if there were monies available, the commission could then pay down that cost. So, finally, this newly created commission will issue a report to the governor and to the legislature. This concludes what I'm trying to do quickly, a presentation of this revised oversight legislation, and I'll turn it back to Lynn for any questions. Thank you.
Just a few closing comments, if I might. This proposed legislation has major implications, and I'd like to address four questions that I think talk about the oversight policies that we're talking about. First, should a quasi-state agency have a controlling role in the worker compensation system? Second question, are we headed for a duopoly that's between the SAFE and the private insurers? And if so, is that good for the long-term economic benefit of both employees, employers, and Oregon? Number three, does the legislature have a fiduciary responsibility to oversee the assets of the state? And the fourth one, and I think is the most important, and is this. Do we believe in a private enterprise system in regard to business activity? That brings me to our board meeting. We had a special board meeting about this particular issue. And I'll tell you, as you can imagine, the discussion was fairly intense. And yes, there wasn't unanimous support for this. But for those that opposed this, the biggest reason they opposed it was because the Oregon Business Association is a very new association. And their concern was, could we stand the heat for getting involved in a controversial arena? I think I can best sum up the reaction of the board by quoting the board chairman. Quote, if we are to have a positive influence in Oregon's future, we better do what's right, not what's politically expedient. Competition in a private enterprise system, whether we're talking about the homesteaders or the Fortune 500 companies, is the foundation for our economy. That's Tom Kelly, CEO of Neil Kelly Company. I think that says best the board's belief and why we're here today to support this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.